And up next, they hit up the Merlin Project, Paul Guercio, Dr. George Hart. All that in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Well, Paul Guercio, of course, a nationally respected futurist, longtime student of traditional and esoteric predictive systems, number of years, and his subsequent collaboration with Dr. George Hart has resulted in the creation of the Merlin Project. Let's bring in Paul, then George. Paul, welcome back to Coast to Coast.
Happy New Year, George. And by the way, congratulations on your new book.
Well, thank you so much. I think Merlin predicted that.
Well, actually, we predicted a few things like that, and I'm thrilled to see that it finally got off the ground.
Well, thank you so much. And, of course, we've got Dr. George Hart with us. Dr. Hart, thank you so much, by the way, for your ongoing comments about the program and your feedback. It's greatly appreciated, George.
Well, George, you and your show are a very valuable source of information for looking through a lot of things that interest Paul and I.
Paul, I know we've got a lot to cover with you and George, but very quickly, give us an overview of what Project Merlin is all about.
Well, even before I do that, George, let me just quickly invite your audience to go to timetracks.org. They can follow what we're doing tonight and then follow over the months of what happens. Timetracks.org is a website where we place the time tracks that Merlin produces so that you can actually watch and see what these things actually look like. Merlin is essentially a piece of computer software that captures time in a way that allows us to extrapolate where the hills and valleys of the future are going to be. So in other words, if you think of a global positioning satellite system, for instance, which can tell you within a meter or so where on the planet you actually are, Merlin essentially takes a moment of time, a sliver of time, and it projects forward from that particular instant and gives you a snapshot of what the hills and valleys of the future are going to look like as measured from that instant. The interesting thing is each instant produces a different topographical map.
Now, when Merlin was created with you and Dr. Hart and George, you had a lot to do with the programming of this. Was there some trial and error here?
Well, it was 25 years of trial and error on my part before George came along. I think that was probably to my advantage, because I suspect if that hadn't have happened, George would never have taken a second look at this thing. I had spent a very long time seriously looking at the various mystical systems of antiquity, everything from the Mayan calendar and the Sumerians and the Egyptian astrology, Chinese astrology, right on through the American Indian, the Native American peoples. What I concluded over those years of research was that essentially what each of those civilizations had noticed was a kind of time system. It's one of the reasons why we find in our writings, both biblical writings and scientific writings, this interval of 7 years, the seven lean years and fat years in the Bible, the seven-year itch, and so on. One of the things that's common to each of those mystical systems is this interval of 7 years. Well, that's because there is some kind of a pulse going on in our solar system that operates on that frequency. What we've been able to do with Merlin is essentially tease out the cycles, the meaningful cycles that are going on, and build a very grand kind of clock that keeps track of almost a kind of universal time.
All right, and Time Tracks, by the way, that website you gave us, why don't you spell that for us, Paul?
It's Time Tracks without the C, so it's TimeTracks.org.
Very good. How about a quick recap of 2006?
Well, we've had ourselves a pretty good year. I'll tell you, we started talking about the collapse of the Bush 43 administration as far back as probably three years ago on your program, at least 2.5 years ago. And at the time, we were viewed as partisans who were bad-mouthing the president, when in fact what we actually saw was a political crisis of monumental proportions. George is convinced, for instance, that we are at a crossroads with this American experiment, and politically we may have suffered a almost fatal blow. George?
George, Nori, it seems like this war in Iraq is one that we simply could not afford for a lot of reasons, and it's caused political upheaval over here, moving almost towards a constitutional crisis about some of the falsehoods that led us into the war. Mm-hmm. But we're looking at something that may approach a $2 trillion due bill. We've got a war that Merlin suggests may drag on to 2011 for us. And the truth be told, as bad as all of that is, it would be like a hunter going into the forest and being eaten to death slowly by black flies, forgetting to pay attention to that bear that's stumbling around in the woods that can kill you with a single blow.
At any time.
Which is the resurgent Soviet Union, which is another topic that Merlin spent a lot of time recently looking at.
I want to talk with you about that, but did you just say that it's possible, according to Merlin, that we could be in Iraq through 2011?
Yes, and just today we took another close look at the Merlin run for Al Sadr, one of the key players over there now, and that matches up with that. He only started to enjoy a peak of activity following our invasion, and it stretches on strongly for at least another couple of years.
All right, we talked to Paul about Iran and North Korea over the last year or so. Why don't you elaborate on that?
Well, I think one of the things about Iran and North Korea that was interesting, George, is that when we were on your show in August of 2004, Dr. Hart, who has as his day job a research role in the SDI program, has been for 23 years, brought out the fact that both Iran and North Korea nuclear potential was about to become a huge problem. And while we've seen that happen over the course of the last 24 months or so, one of the things that we've been paying a lot more attention to lately with Merlin is this resurgent Russian situation, because as much as we're concerned about the Iranians getting a nuclear bomb, they don't have a delivery system yet. North Korea has a bomb, but no serious delivery system. The Soviets are sitting on how many ICBMs, George? And you told me to remind you about the SS-20s.
Right. About 2,000, George. Within the last month, the Soviet Union has tested their missile defense system. They're starting to make moves in that direction. And very critically, they recently announced they're thinking about putting multiple warheads on each of their SS-27 missiles, which used to be a single warhead and kind of put an end to the arms race between us and them.
You both said Soviet Union. Is that Freudian? Is there something going on here?
I think it's a mind shift that's happened over there and I think it may be infecting Paul and I, that for about 15 or 20 years, Russia has suffered an implosion, particularly as far as prestige on the world stage goes. But they took the long view, brought in an awful lot of Western capital, built up their oil fields, and now within the last 2 weeks have given the oil companies that did that an offer they couldn't refuse, cutting their participation in half, the oil company participation.
They literally couldn't refuse.
What you're seeing is a version of OPEC as run by Don Corleone of The Godfather. And they're in a position now to dictate to Europe, to Japan, and China, just how those three parts of the world will behave on the world stage.
Now, well, let me ask you, though, George and Paul, is it wrong for a country to nationalize its own oil?
Not really. They're just acting smartly in their own interest. God knows we should be doing the same over here. So
exactly.
The thing is that Merlin gave us a really clear warning that this kind of resurgence of Russia and probably the desire for the kind of grandeur of the Soviet Union is very much alive over there.
There's also something else, George. One of the things you may recall is that when we first put Merlin into operation, it was in the fall of 1989, just before the Soviet Union collapsed. And one of the things that we put Merlin to use on at the very, very beginning was each of the Soviet satellite countries at that point, so Romania and Czechoslovakia and so on. And one of the things that happens cyclically about every 21 years or thereabouts is that you get a kind of repeat of some of the stuff that had occurred at the previous juncture. Well, if you count back to the 80s, in the 87, 88 range, which is really where the problems in the Soviet Union that caused the collapse to occur began to happen, we are now just approaching that 20, 21-year mark anniversary from all of that. And one of the things you often see when that happens is the resurgence of the situation that changed at the earlier stage. So we are now at that 20-year juncture. It would not be unlikely to see the Soviet Union reemerge in many of the ways that we remember with some trepidation from 20-plus years ago.
And China is not going to be quiet while all this is going on, will it?
George?
The main problem we have with them is a financial one in many ways. With the amount of imports they've been buying, they now are in a position to kind of dictate to us the strength of the United States dollar, which has put the Fed in a very tough position. We've used Merlin to look at two of the most successful players in this arena, Warren Buffett and George Soros, who were born very close together in the same year, same month. And what we get out of this is that the Fed is caught between a rock and a hard place. They would really like to strengthen the dollar on the international stage so that investors in other countries don't pull their money out of the United States, causing a collapse of the bond and the stock markets. But if they strengthen the dollar, they'll put a bullet through the head of the real estate market over here, which is already staggering around weekly.
No question about it. You had a home run on Rumsfeld, by the way. Merlin.
One of the things that we've been watching for probably the past several years, at least maybe half a dozen, is a cycle in American politics that was first illuminated by Dave Nolan, a good friend of George's and a founder of the Libertarian Party. And the year 2004, the election of 2004, and the entire window of time that we're in now appeared to be a period of time which, like 72 years previously at the time of the Great Depression, the FDR period, the Great Depression, and 72 years before that at the time of the American Civil War, we are at a consolidation of power stage in the American government, and we've certainly seen that with the Bush people. We are at a critical stage in terms of where this American democracy is at in ways that we may not even begin to imagine yet. And George has been looking at that very seriously.
I am fascinated by the 2008 political players. And a couple of years ago, everybody was talking about Hillary. And now recently, Paul and George, it appears that her popularity is collapsing. What's going on there?
Well, we always thought that Hillary was going to collapse. In fact, we've been saying all along, ever since it was first mentioned that Hillary might run, that we saw that either she would not get the nomination or she would not win the election if she did get the nomination. We sort of boiled it down, and quite frankly, the players that look most viable to us are maybe John Edwards and Mitt Romney. I wouldn't be surprised on the Democratic side to see a ticket that looks something like, Edwards and Barack Obama, but certainly not Hillary and Obama.
All right. Well, that's a pretty stunning prediction from Merlin that we will know about in a couple of years. I mean, less than that now. It's unbelievable at how it picked the demise of Donald Rumsfeld.
Well, you know, one of the things about the Bush administration players, all of them, especially I think Cheney even more than Rumsfeld, is that when you look at the players in the major players in the administration, one of the things that you couldn't possibly not notice if you looked at the time tracks is that in the window of time after the 2004 election, mostly from mid 2005 to about early 2007 is the window to look at it. If your listeners are going to the website and looking at these, you'll notice that in that period of time, each one of these time tracks collapses. The trend line just disintegrates. And George and I had to try and assign a meaning to that as far back as 3 or 4 years ago. And the only thing we could conclude was that the administration was going to collapse, the wheels are going to come off the bus. And of course, in this 06 midterm election, it's obvious that's happened. Those things will probably get worse as the next year or two arrives. George?
Just in our closing moments here, George, as the half hour kind of runs out, a couple of things I want to remind you and our listeners about in terms of outstanding predictions. We've been indicating for a couple of years now that there was going to be a lull in terrorism and terrorist attacks on the United States and the role of Osama bin Laden. That will be changing most likely in 2007, which is bad news, but it behooves people to just pay attention in their personal lives as far as planning for that sort of thing. The other thing I'd mentioned to people oftentimes wonder, well, just how does Merlin work? There's a lot of computer programming and looking at these time tracks we do. The other thing that Paul and I do is just pay an awful lot of attention to history in different ways, and I think it's an interesting exercise for those of your listeners who'd be curious about it. Renting or buying the DVD of Lawrence of Arabia would be a phenomenal eye-opener. This is Steven Spielberg's favorite movie. It inspired him as a child to become a director. It's a great work of art, but if you go in there, there are at least 20 different lessons learned that we should have pulled together before we went into Iraq. The role of tribalism.
You are so right. So right.
It's fascinating. Martyrdom, bombs that Lawrence directed them towards, the chaos of trying to put Arabs together in the government, the defeat of idealism when anyone steps into that part of the world, the problem with looting over there. But most importantly, to understand that part of the world and why we may be stuck there for quite a while, I honestly believe that for that culture, slaughter and bloodshed plays the same role that sex does over here. And when you take the big picture of those kind of forces and put them together with things like the Merlin charge, you can begin to get a pretty good map of where the future is going.
You know, there's also something else, just from a standpoint of looking at prediction, George, and one of the things George and my George and I get frustrated with in watching is that people have a very short memory when it comes to forecasts. Many of the things that we say now or are recapping tonight sound perfectly reasonable, except they weren't reasonable when we said them 3 or 4 years ago. And the same thing is true with this talk about the resurgent Russia, for instance, exactly the same kind of thing. One of the things we wanted to drop in tonight is, in terms of this 08 election, is keep an eye on Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York.
All right.
There's a serious third-party push going on there. That might be something that can become a major influence on the 08 election. Also, a couple of other quick culture war items. Rosie O'Donnell and Katie Couric both started their new career on the same day, September 5th. They're probably both going to find themselves failing in those career choices sooner than later. Al Gore, people have asked what's going to happen with Gore this time. He's waiting to be asked. I don't think he's going to get asked. The time is wrong. He'd be better, actually, the next time around rather than this time around.
Interesting. Fascinating. Websites, of course, timetracks.org, projectmerlin.com. Quick question, Paul. The end of times. Does Merlin go out that far?
Well, we've been keeping tabs on that for a long time, George. When we first ran the Mayan calendar end date many years ago, we noticed that there was this enormous uptake of activity in the 4 years or so leading into December 2012. We don't have any firm conclusions about what that's going to be yet, but I think we can begin to see some of it in terms of problems that are being unearthed practically daily with global warming and so on, issues of pandemics and so on. And George mentioned something earlier tonight he wanted me to mention about a UFO experience in Chicago that may turn out to be much more conclusive than a lot of others.
That's great to hear. Thank you. Paul, George Hart, of course, they head up the Project Merlin Project, and they are regular contributors as well to Coast AM. Up next, the numbers lady, Glynis McCants. Glynis McCants, she's the numbers lady, and she's up next on Coast to Coast AM. The numbers lady, Glynis McCants, who's been studying numerology for years. She uses the Pythagoras number system, which is 2,500 years old. She's the author of the book, Glynis Has Your Number, as well as the creator of the numerology kit, the individual reading chart, the Healing by Number CD, and Are We Soulmates program. Glynis has amassed a very strong following. Cannot get over her exceptional speed and accuracy. She's very fast, and when she does live readings, she doesn't seem to miss. Glynis believes that knowledge is power. She's our guest on Coast to Coast AM. Hello, Glynis. Welcome back.
Hey, Happy New Year's, George.
You too. It was good seeing you at the book signing a few months ago, by
yeah.
the way. It was nice.
Yeah, well, you're so popular. That was lots of fun.
You got more applause than I did.
No, but the Coast to Coasters, they're a great crowd of people. It was neat to meet them in person.
Numbers for the new year, Glynis, huh?
Oh, yeah, because you got to know that when January 1st happens, there is a number shift. So that's always fun to look at for everybody out there. You know,
cool.
We all have personal year cycles, like your cycle just changed.
Is that good or bad?
It's good. I mean, it just depends on what cycle. For some people, it'll be a little tougher than others. But the cycle you just had is a great shift. Do you want me to show you how that works?
Yeah, in a moment, we'll talk
okay.
about me. But let's talk about some of your recaps of 2006.
Okay. Well, when you and I did that prediction show, we talked about some key people, and I thought it would be good to discuss them today.
Sure.
One of them, of course, was George Bush. When you look at 2006, it's called a world number. And when you break it down, it's 2 plus 0 plus 0 plus 6, which is an 8. And I told you that 8 would be a year of hard lessons and that people would have to be open to advice or they would pay dearly in that
mm-hmm.
cycle. I also said it would be issues with money. So a lot of people dealt with the money stuff. Well, in George Bush's case, George didn't take advice. And I said to you, he would pay dearly by year's end if he didn't listen. So I would say the shift of the House and the Senate was the payback. Wouldn't you agree with that?
I would say it was a major payback.
Yeah, and he was shocked. You know, the thing that got me was the next day when he let Rumsfeld go, he said the words, "We were thumped." Well, what he really meant was he got hit over the head. That was a wake-up call for him. And as the Republicans and Democrats agree, had Rumsfeld been let go months earlier, it would have been a different outcome. So he truly was learning in the year of 8 the hard way. And Dick Cheney, what was interesting about him, there are life path numbers, which all of us have. Dick Cheney is a one life path. The year of 8 was toxic to him. And didn't the year begin with trouble for Dick when he shot his buddy? That's not a good beginning, and the way he handled it messed with his popularity. So I saw that right from the gate. I knew that it would even be more difficult for Dick Cheney than it would be for George Bush from the onset of that new year. Hillary Clinton was another one we discussed, and I told you that judging by her numerology, because we all have personal numbers,
mm-hmm.
that she would be stronger by year's end. And sure enough, this woman won basically by a landslide as a Senate for, you know, New York, but she also did so well in terms of the shift. The shift of the House and the Senate can only help her in what she wants to achieve. And, you know, I want to tell you something, George, and this is what I basically said to you then. You know, of course people talk about, is Hillary going to run for president?
Yeah. See, I think my perception is she's sinking right now.
Yeah, you are correct, but here's the deal. She has a 1 in her chart, and that means really needs to win, meaning if she's going to go for it, it's because she believes it's possible to win. So it seems to me it could be real smart for her to hop in as vice president with somebody who's a strong candidate and get into that White House. See, because I think, wouldn't you say that Dick Cheney's proven that the vice presidency can also be very powerful?
Well, he is, I think, the most powerful vice president we've ever had.
Correct. So I just, and again, what I would say, because I can't speak for Hillary Clinton, her numbers tell me she will do whatever it takes to get in the White House, so she's going to have to plan her strategy, but the numbers are in her favor. So how she chooses to do it will be interesting to see.
You did a lot of Hollywood breakup predictions in 2006.
Yes, I did, and one that I want to jump in and say about Tom Cruise, remember when we talked, people were treating him as a punchline with Katie Holmes, not believing the relationship,
mm-hmm.
and I told you they were naturally matched, and that it was the real deal. Well, sure enough, they wound up getting married. And all the people who went there, what you keep hearing is, I said, that relationship, the love was something you could touch. Like, they were so floored by how sincere their love is. So as a numerologist, that's exciting for me to see, because it's exactly what I saw the minute they got together. All I did, George, was run the numbers, and the numbers told me it was real.
You must get a kick out of running numbers and then seeing the results later on.
I have to tell you, it's one of my greatest highs. It truly is. And I know this sounds kind of horrible, because sometimes when a couple breaks up, I sort of jump up and down, only because
if you're right.
If the numbers are toxic, and I'm going to give you the example, Reese Witherspoon and Ryan Phillippe, they look like a perfect couple, but there are six numbers that make up our chart, and they had... If you have toxic numbers, it means you are speaking two different languages. So in other words,
okay. Yeah.
So the more toxic you have, the harder it is. They had four toxic numbers out of six. And I just knew that their days were numbered, no pun intended. Now, anyone can stay in a bad relationship, by the way. It's not that you have to break up, but I just knew it was so much struggle. And especially Reese, I believe she was the one doing whatever it would take to stay with him. But then the cheating stuff happened, and that was that.
And Hollywood tends to not stick it out. You know, during my parents' days, you know, they're still married. They've been married now 57 years. I'm 56.
Sure.
I mean, that's unheard of, Glynis. But nowadays, especially in Hollywood, man, they break up fast.
Right. But like, okay, one thought that comes to me, David Duchovny and Taya Leone. Those two have been together for many years, and I remember when they first got together, people said, oh, this isn't real, it's not going to last. Well, their numbers were naturally matched, and I knew this was a good relationship. And sure enough, they're still together and very much in love. So I think it's possible. I mean, Hollywood, let's face it, you've got a lot of temptation around you, right? But if your numbers are toxic, you're going to have a heck of a time staying. And Britney Spears was my other one. The thing about her, in the year 2004, remember, you just break it down simple, 2 plus 0 plus 0 plus 4 is 6. She's a 6 life path. 6 is the mother number. Britney Spears, in the year 2004, was obsessed with finding a partner and getting married. So much so that she proposed to two men in the same year. Do you remember that?
I remember that.
Right. So sure enough, she hooks up with Kevin. Well, I knew that was going to work out. And the second pregnancy, she said it was a mistake, and I believe her, meaning she accidentally got pregnant.
Yes.
Because as quick as that baby was out, she dropped her weight and went to party with Paris Hilton.
Well, okay.
So what I'm saying is, again, toxic numbers, not a healthy relationship.
What about Pamela Anderson's?
Well, Pam Anderson, here's what's sad about her. She is a 4 life path, and that is truly the number that wants a commitment. Like, if they had it their way, they would not date. They'd rather just stay with someone forever. And if you think about her history, she keeps going back to Tommy Lee, right? She always goes back to her partner, and Kid Rock was the other one. So she finally just threw caution to the wind and said, I'm going to do it. Big mistake. Mm-hmm. Now, listen to this. Your 3 birth numbers are the most important numbers, because you know how you can change your name, but you cannot change your birthday?
Right.
All 3 numbers Pam has with Kid Rock are toxic.
Oh,
all 3 numbers. So again, I looked at this and thought, what are you doing? And sure enough, I mean, they had like 4 ceremonies, and now they're done.
All over.
Yeah. And guess what? Who's she around again? Tommy Lee.
Yep.
Now,
I mean, you called it. You called it.
Yes,
I'll tell
I
you.
Did.
You did. It's all documented. It's out there.
Yeah.
So let's look at 2007, because a year from now, we'll be pulling them back and saying, all right, let's see how accurate you are.
Yeah, let's see what happened this time. All right. Well, first of all, let me say the good news about the year 2007. Again, 2 plus 0 plus 0 plus 7 is 9. 9 is the highest number. It is the year of true communication, George. So I would say the last couple of years have been really difficult. Wouldn't you agree with that?
For all of us?
Oh, yeah, in the big picture, in world politics and stuff.
Oh, yeah, I think it's been frustrating and stressful for a lot of people, and I see it every day.
That's right. Well, I will tell you that this year will be much better, because it's going to be time for us to really talk things through and stop pointing the finger. Everyone's so busy, has been busy, blaming each other for what's wrong. In the year of 9, there's going to be a lot more accountability. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be wonderful to see. And again, on terms of couples, A real toxic relationship that claims to be a solid one is Julia Roberts with Danny Motor. Julia always says, oh, life is great, blah, blah, blah. But they have four toxic numbers out of six, just like Reese Witherspoon. So that's a relationship to kind of look at. The other one that's sad is Nicole Kidman with Keith Urban. That relationship is truly like building the house on sand. She's a four life path. He's a five. The downside of a five is escaping through drugs and alcohol. It's the thing a four can't handle. So within 4 months of their marriage, boom, the boy's back in rehab.
Why don't people like call you up real fast and say, hey, Glennis, here's his birth date or here's her birthday.
Oh,
tell me what you think.
Absolutely. And I let them run charts for their own relationships. You'd crack up. I have some men who run like 15 women. they don't want to take a chance. They might go out once with a gal, but they'll keep running numbers until it looks good. And I'm all for it. You know, I picked my husband by the numbers.
I know. But how many people will not, they'll go with the number, they'll look at the numbers, you'll tell them the numbers, and they still do the opposite. And then they get burned.
Well, you know what I'd say about that? The ones who choose to stay, because here's the deal, like even in my book, Glennis Has Your Number, I tell you, if you choose to stay, then you're going to have to learn to play by the numbers, meaning where you guys are toxic, you're going to have to learn to speak in a new way so that your partner understands you. So if you're willing to put that kind of effort in it, it certainly could work, especially when you're married with children. But if you're someone who's just dating, why bother, George? Life's too short. Why not be with someone who's a natural match or someone who's compatible, who wants to love you for who you are? They don't even want to change you because you're similar in energy.
Well, that's pretty fascinating stuff.
Yeah.
Does it change by year? Well, I mean, do the new years affect your outcome?
I'll tell you what does happen. We all go into a personal year cycle, and sometimes the cycle you're in might be in conflict with your partner, and that's important to know so that you don't take each other personally while you get through that year. And that's why I'd love to show you the example of you and then let everyone out there know what cycle they're in so they can make a note of it.
Well, how public is this going to be?
It's not public. It's so simple. I promise. It's nothing.
I'm a private guy, Glennis.
This is all you need. Now, you don't mind that the world knows you were born 6'4". That's no big deal.
Everybody knows that.
Okay, so everyone should grab their piece of paper and just write this down so they can do their own number. We're going to use you as an example.
Thanks.
You were born 6'4", and what you do is break it down to one digit. So 6 plus 4 is 10. Mm-hmm. 1 plus 0 is 1.
Now,
to find out what cycle you're in, you're going to add it to the world number. And since we're now in the world cycle 9, all I do is go 1 plus 9 is 10, mm-hmm. and break it down to one digit because the numbers are only 1 through 9.
All right, and the 1 came from me, and the 9
Correct.
Is the world number. Okay.
Correct. And it's just month and day that they need. They don't even mm-hmm. need their full birthday for this. And 1 plus 0 is 1. You are in a personal year of 1 right now, George. That
all
means...
Right. What does that mean?
It's awesome. It means time to get into the driver's seat of your life. It's time to call the shots. So if you feel someone else is driving the car, no more. It's like, no, I know what I'm doing, and I'm ready for some shifts and some changes. And what's great about it, it's not just in business. It's also in love. You can look at your relationship and say, is this what I want? Am
love?
I happy here?
What's love?
Love is a good thing if it's a natural match.
But work, Glennis. I work all the time.
Okay, so guess what you have to have? You have to have a partner who knows that about you, and you have to have a partner. If they're a natural match, by the way, because you're a 7 in numerology, that's your life path. If a 1, 5, 7, those are the three numbers that are like you, come along, they're going to be working just as hard, so it won't be offensive when you get too caught up in your work. They'll
and again, you got
it.
Those numbers by going birth, month, day, and year, right?
Correct. If they go to numberslady.com, what they can do is hit the numbers link, and it will show them how to find a life path so they can see that basic number that we're talking about and also the attitude. When you pick a partner, George, what you hope for is someone who is either a natural match to you or compatible. Because if they're toxic, guess what it turns into? George, where are you? Why aren't you with me? Why don't you care? And you're like, uh-oh, this is becoming draining.
All right, now let me ask you a question. What
sure.
if somebody was a 6?
And is that their personal year cycle or life path?
That's their life path.
Okay, if they're a 6 life path to your 7, it means sometimes you will feel confused and not sure as a partnership. It also means there's chemistry. So you'll have chemistry with that energy. And six, they tend to be attractive or care about their appearance.
Interesting.
Uh-huh. And they have to be careful not to sabotage because they're good at damage control, like they want to fix things. It's also considered the nurturing number, meaning children should be important or taking care of someone will matter to them. But it's a strong energy for a woman. They have a strong sense of self.
Well, not that there's a six, but I thought I'd throw that number out.
Well, that's what I would tell you about that energy. But again, a six with a seven, sometimes the communication has to be squared away. You guys have to sit down and talk it through. Otherwise, it's subject to misinterpretation.
How many people, Glenn, is saying, oh, come on, they're only numbers?
You know what? Not when I get through with them, George.
That's true.
It's true. I mean, I'll do like a workshop. And everyone is so excited when it's over because I try to keep it as simple as possible. That is how I set up the book. I don't want this to be so difficult because if you look at the basics, like let's continue. Let's, for those who are at home doing this right now, if let's say they're in a two personal year.
And they can get a lot of this off your website, right?
Right, but this particular part's not on the site.
All
so
right.
I would say, because remember, all they do is add their month and day, break it down to one digit, and add it to the number nine. And break it down to one digit. So if you're in a two cycle, it's a cycle for love. It's a cycle to express yourself. If you're in a cycle of three, it's communication and laughter and speaking up. So if you're a person who normally won't talk, that's the year to say what's going on with you. If you go into a personal year four, it's about looking at your home and it's about educating yourself. If you feel like you're behind, it's time to take a class and learn something you don't know. If you're going into a cycle of five, you need to know things will feel a little out of your control. And I suggest you take vacations or do something for yourself, because if you buy a house or get married, anything like that, it's a mistake in a cycle of five. It just doesn't quite work. It's too much work. Cycle of six, that is the time where you could settle down. If you're a woman and you wanted to have a child, it's a good year to go for that. It's a time to sign a contract and not regret it. In the personal year of seven, that's about looking at your spiritual side. Remember I said you're a seven life path?
Yes.
Sevens always say, who am I? What am I? Why am I here?
I do that all the time.
Correct.
Every morning.
Right, because that's who you are, meaning your life path is who you are. When someone goes into that cycle, they also have to look at that part of them. Like if they don't have faith, they need to tap into that spiritual side of who they are. And if there's someone who talks a lot, that's the year to shut up. Luckily, I'm not in that cycle, George. I'll let you know when I am.
Oh, my gosh. Please. No, I'm kidding.
Anyway, but it's a time to look within yourself and, you know, pick up books, maybe meditate or learn yoga, stuff to calm yourself down. Cycle of eight is a year to look at the money, to look at the people in your life, but also because, remember, just like George Bush, I said it's a difficult time to listen to other people, but it's the year you must. You must listen to others or you will regret it at the end of your year. And if you're in a personal year of nine, that is the time to clear your space for new beginnings. And as I told you last year, I told you I was looking so forward to 2007 because it's a shift in a positive way. You know what's going to happen too? A boomerang effect. Those that are abusive will get it back tenfold and quickly, George.
Good.
Yeah, so this is going to be something to see. I'm excited.
That doesn't mean, though, that we're going to escape the year and not have catastrophes and tragedies, right?
Oh, no, no. When I say cycle seven, like example, I've been studying some stuff that you and I will be covering later about various people. When you look at a cycle, you can see what each person's going through. Example, George Bush and Dick Cheney, I knew they were going to win that second election because they were in a personal year of one.
Mm-hmm.
See, you're in a personal year of one, and I said that's your year to win. Well, didn't they win the second election? They were both in a cycle to win. Right now, they're going into a cycle of four, which means learning. They're going to have to learn how to do it differently. They're up for some sort of education in this new year. They don't have an option.
Glynis has your number, her phone number, by the way. If you're interested in her book order, is 877-686-2373. That's 877-686-2373. Her website is numberslady.com. That's it, numberslady.com. Thanks, Glynis.
You're welcome. Happy New Year.
You too. In a moment, the man from France joins us, Dr. Luis Turi on Coast to Coast AM.